Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with Mum, who looks very
lilac.
Spring. I like that jumper on you.
Do you,
it's a bit of cleavage, but yeah. It's soft.
Oh, sorry.
But also racy at the same time. You got your pearls on. Good
got
on you.
Got my pearls, darling.
We have a guest that we have been desperate to have on.
Jessie, a clue. First name, three consonants.
Oh, God. Your fucking time's up, Mum. It's Carol Vorderman.
Three fouls.
Should we talk? I don't know if you remember this, Mum. We've actually met Carol Vorderman before.
Where, darling?
In Florence, outside of the Duomo.
Is that where I fell over?
That's where you fell flat on your arse.
Was she there?
She was there.
Oh, my God. Do you think she'll remember?
I hope not, for your sake.
I was a lot slimmer then as well.
The acoustics in the Duomo certainly heard the fall.
Was that when we went for the wedding?
We went for the wedding.
My best friend's wedding.
It was about 22 years ago.
Alex had just done his GCSE Jewish studies.
Oh, right, great.
So he was 14.
All right, brilliant.
Yeah, no, random. He was 14.
Yeah, he just did a night shift too. Poor Alex.
How is he?
He's fine. Anyway, you fell on your ass in front of Carol Vorderman.
But I think I fell on my face, darling.
You fell on your face, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I think she did ask if you were all right. But let's not bring it up. Just so the listeners know.
I hope the earth didn't move when I fell on my face.
Anyway.
Was that when we were
getting... The Tower of Pisa leaned a bit more.
No, darling. Was that when we were getting out of the horse-drawn carriage
that
no one wanted to go?
You always tried to give us experiences on holiday. Three teenagers so grumpy in the back of a horse and carriage. And you're like, we're in Florence. Enjoy it, darling. Anyway, so we have Carol Vorderman on the podcast. She has a new podcast / YouTube channel / kind of everything.
App.
I don't know. We're going to have to ask her more about it. It's called Perfect 10. It's 10 questions, 10 points, all done in just 10 minutes. How many different like trivia apps, kind of brain,
darling,
puzzles.
Every day. It's probably why I use my screen so much, because I do word games every single day. So I do Word Maker at the moment. And I had to, the app went all funny, so I had to start again with it. And I have been up to like a million words. Yeah, I love word games. I'm not very good with number games. Are you, Jessie?
Oh,
I can't
awful.
Do Sudoku. Is it Sudoku or Sudoku? Well, I can't do that.
What are you cooking today?
I've cooked, because it's lunch, so I've done scallops.
Lovely.
Well, I'm doing scallops. I haven't cooked them
last
yet.
Last time we did them was for Cat Dealing.
Yeah, it was. So I've done scallops
always
with...
for a national treasure.
A national treasure. I've done scallops with the salty new potatoes that I made the other day.
Oh, fab.
Because they're nice. Big salad, pea puree.
Did you add the cumin into the pea puree?
Yes, darling.
Anything else you add?
It was a red onion.
Oh.
Cumin. I think I might have done it with shallots last time, but I've done it with red onion.
So you sauté the onion?
Sauté the onion with cumin. Then add the peas and some chicken stock.
Then zhuzh it.
Zhuzh it. And then I've tried to, because she's a healthy eater, and you're a healthy eater, and I try to be a healthy eater, I've made healthy individual little cheesecakes, which are made with honey, oats and a little coconut oil. And then you just mix that together and press that down to make the crust. And then you put on top, it's Philadelphia light with some honey and vanilla. And then they've been in the freezer overnight. And they're little tiny ones.
So, hon, how do you... So, it's just vanilla and cream cheese?
Yeah, but the low-fat one. So, it's a healthy dessert.
Carol has been in the headlines recently. She went in on our lovely friend Michelle Fazage's brilliant podcast.
Yeah. She's been in the papers for two reasons.
Yeah.
She seems to be having simultaneous relationships.
We love that.
Not committed to one, but running a few at the same time. And also, she's a great anti-corruption fighter. And she's got a lot on her hands at the moment, I would say. I can't wait to talk to her about that.
You're going to put the world to rights.
Yeah, today, me and Carol.
Against the world.
Against the world.
Carol Vorderman, coming up on Table Manners. Carol Vorderman, you have just walked in with... Well, let's describe. This is like a jumpsuit.
Yeah, but...
It's old and it fits like a damn glove.
And it's shrunk. And look how high.
No.
It doesn't matter. Like, you look
trouser bit.
You look like a kind of superhero. Like a Catwoman superhero.
Yes.
It's a zip-up jumpsuit. I don't want to objectify you, but your body is something else. It's quite unbelievable. And it's just a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, we're so excited.
You've just allowed Lenny to open the champagne, so you're already best friends.
Cheers.
Yeah.
And Lenny, may I just say congratulations. She's obviously opened more than one bottle of champagne. That was done with expert precision.
It's one of my strong points.
It was like the nun's whisper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The nun's whisper.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was just like, yeah. The nun's kiss.
No struggling with the thumbs.
Well, actually, I thought that, because Pink was on at the beginning of this series, and she opened
one of my heroines.
She's unbelievable.
I've just been singing
the new one.
Lyrics. No. The put your head back, spit in the wind.
Which one's that?
Know it.
I can run just as fast as I can. To the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, see, I can just sit here and you sing for an hour. I'd like that. I'd be happy with that.
So you're here. We've been so excited for this. We've wanted you for a long time.
Have you now?
You play hard to get, I tell you.
Definitely.
But we are so thrilled to talk all about Perfect Ten, about you, all about growing up and food and Wales.
And it's a little bit different, I suppose, isn't it? Because the Welsh thing.
Well, let's start.
Where did it start?
Let's start at the beginning.
Well, so, it was a long time ago now. You get to that point, don't you, Lenny? It's like,
Carol, can I ask something? Very rude. How old are you now? If you've got a 30...
I'm 62.
Shit.
I'm 62, but happy. I was always meant to be in my 60s.
Do you think?
Yeah. It's like... in my 20s, 30s, all that, I've always kind of struggled with society's rules, if you know what I mean. Because our time, growing up, you were not meant to do this, society told you. And there were no outlets for anyone who felt a bit different. So, which I always did. So now, it's like this, I feel freer than I've ever felt.
You do get to, well, I'm much older than you, but you get to, well, my age, and you think, I'm going to do what I want and say what I want. Fuck it. I'm old enough. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. Yeah. And I'm not bothered.
And I'm not bothered anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly that.
Yeah.
So it's like this sort of sense of freedom, really. I'm always up for a fight, always up for a challenge, always up for a battle. But I've never felt freer now. It's like, oh, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
There's nothing more that can be said or done that touches me in any way.
What was it like?
Cheers.
Being cheers.
Cheers to that.
But what was it like then, being this kind of pin-up, clever, dull, like, you know, all these kind of tick, 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 but also quite kind of exotic because you're all these things that maybe women aren't meant to be. Or presented, you were kind of presented as that, weren't you?
Well, I don't know,
you
really.
You were more, sorry, this sounds rude, but you weren't quite as glamorous when you were on Countdown at the very beginning.
No. Is there a reason? Rather... I had a secret life, though, you see.
You were kind of much more scholar-like.
Yes, because that's what people told you had to be.
Oh, is that right?
Because back in the... So it was 1982 when I started. Yeah, I know.
That's a long time.
That you cast your mind back. There were three channels.
Yeah.
There was no daytime telly as we know it. There was no breakfast telly. There was no Sky. There was no, you know, Channel 4 by definition was beginning because Countdown was the first show and I was the first woman to talk on Channel 4. And so you were either one of, I don't know, three or four female newsreaders, taking the acting side to one side completely, or you were a Dolly Bird.
Yeah, it's true.
And you were Esther Anson. There was no one else as a woman that you were allowed to be. So then this thing called Countdown started, and I had a proper job at the time because I was an engineer, you see. So it's like...
What were you making?
At that time, I'd finished working underground. I was working in the computing industry then. But anyway, that's another story.
And that was after graduating from...
That was after graduating from Cambridge and all that, yeah. So I'd worked in frozen pea factories, and I love the glamorous life. I can drive a forklift truck in minus 20 degrees. I can go 5 pallets up with my prongs. Very good at all of that. That's what gets my smell of cement powder.
Really gets you going.
People go, spray this perfume. I go,
Where was all this? Was this in Wales?
All over, yeah. So back then, you had to be what they wanted you to be on the telly. And I wasn't the Dolly Bird, if you like, because they were models and they were this, that. Not that I wanted to be on the telly anyway. And then this sort of job happened along because my mum forged my signature and wrote a letter in. And that was kind of where it started. And so you had to be what they wanted
you to be.
So back in the early days of Countdown, all I did was answer the numbers. Mm. And they had a Dolly Bird, as they would call them, doling out the letters. Kathy Heitner, who's a model from Manchester. And people, it was very sexist times, you know, they just were. My title was, as in vital statistics, the vital statistician. That was my title.
The vital statistician.
Yeah. So you kind of, you know, you get to this age and you've lived through it all.
Did they tell you what you could wear and how you should look?
Yeah, it was very tidy.
So when did things change for you that you
felt...
Well, I feel like you've won Rear of the Year many times. You are so sexy. You are glamorous. You are vivacious. You are confident. You are so intelligent. When did you feel like it changed, that you felt like you could these two worlds that you were living in could kind of collide?
I think, you see, when I was growing up, so I grew up in North Wales, and I was a bit of a, I don't know that I was a rebel, I just don't really care what other people think.
Which
really.
Bit of North Wales?
So, do you know Rhyl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my niece lives on Anglesey.
Oh.
And we used to go
proper
to...
Proper Welsh Wales.
Abersoch.
To Abersoch, yeah.
And so we used to drive. If I went to Abersoch from Manchester...
Yeah.
You might...
Are you from Manchester?
Yeah.
Well, anyone in Rhyl... So, like, if you live in Rhyl, you're a third Scouse and Manc.
Yeah.
And the rest of you is Welsh, basically. Yeah. But every Scouser I know, you know, they go, "Eh, where are you from?" Go, "Oh, from Rhyl." Rhyl. It's Grace in Rhyl. I've had many a lovely holiday in Rhyl. You know, that's Scouse, isn't it? It's part Scouse. Well, it is part Scouse,
So it's right on the seaside.
Yeah, they're happy times. But they set you, don't they? Where you grow up, I think, sets a big part of you.
Well, let's talk about that growing up and what was being eaten. What were good memories, bad memories?
Barabrith,
very good.
What's that Luke Evans brought?
I mean, every Welsh person that's been on.
Has Luke Evans sat in his stool?
Yes. And sang to Jessie.
Yes. And brought his mum's Barabrith.
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 Barra Brace.
So what?
With butter. Did it have butter on?
No, actually.
No.
He'd taken it out of the freezer.
He like, brought individual portions. Yeah.
So she makes them so
That's
much.
Only half Welsh, that.
So who was cooking?
Well, so I was born in 1960. My mother and father were married, and I had an older brother and sister. And my mum was a farmer's daughter from Wales, so she's very Welsh. But they, by then, so they met just after the war. He was Dutch borderman.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And Dutch resistance.
Oh, wow.
So he came over after the war, because as you know, there are many people from Holland came over. They met, and my mum, she always described herself as this little, like, Welsh mouse, this quiet little mouse, moved to Holland 2 years after the war ended and learned to speak Dutch. And they got married in Holland, which was like, which was like going to the moon back then. Mm. And so they met, and then they came back to North Wales, and then briefly they lived in Bedford. And anyway, my mum fell pregnant with me, and unknown to her, he started having an affair with a young girl.
Oh.
And so he told my mum after I was born, Christmas Eve, Carol. And so she left after 2 weeks and went back home to North Wales. Oh, so, wow. And my father would have nothing to do with me. I met him in my 40s, even though he spoke, you know, looked after my brother and sister. Well, didn't look after them, but he had stuff to do with them through the intervening years. So the only family I've ever known is my Welsh family, and I grew up in Wales. So it's quite funny, you know, some people go on Wikipedia and go, oh, you're English, you're born in Bedford. I was like, oh, right, 2 weeks. And then I went to school in Rhyl all my life and lived in Prestatyn. But it was really hard in the 60s, so we were properly poor, like dirt poor. And
what did your stepdad do?
Well, my stepfather was a builder, so she married him in 1970.
Okay.
But those first years, and I'll never forget them, even though I was obviously very small, were very hard for my mum, because there was no, is it called the CPS now? What's they call it?
Yeah, CSA, Child Support Agency.
Is that what it's called now? Yeah, where the fathers have to pay money and all that didn't exist. So my mum had 5 part-time jobs. And she was in her 30s then, and exhausted, endlessly exhausted. And we had no food, really. So my Tide, my grandfather...
Tidy. That's what my friend called Tidy. Tidy,
which is very North Wales word, for grandfather. So he would bring round... He was a tenant farmer. And so he brought round a tray of eggs and a little mini sack of potatoes every week. And so we lived on... properly made chips. The chip pan was always on the little gas hob, yeah. And egg and chips is what we lived on. And occasionally she'd let me run down the high street to get fish bits, which were just like the broken bits of batter. I don't know what you call them in Manchester.
I don't know. They had it on the Great British Menu last
fish
week.
Bits.
They did fish bits, the buttery, crispy bits.
It was
of
just
batter.
The bits that fell off into
it's
the
not
fat.
The fish, it's just
There's
the
no
crispy.
Fish in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they're quite delicious, but I mean, it's not not the most bad. Yeah, right.
But then everything then was from fresh. There was no processed food.
Yeah, right.
There was nothing then. So, and you ate your meals. We couldn't afford sweets and crisps and all of that sort of thing. So, except on a Sunday, we used to go, my brother and I, to the, like, new, they were called tobacco agents back then, the shops.
Like a news agent.
Yeah, except they didn't sell the newspapers. Right. It was very much they
just
sold
sweets, mix.
Sweets and fags.
Fags,
and cigars, basically. So that, and we used to go around there and he'd buy a Mars bar and he'd slice it, my brother, and then he'd arrange it in like a spiral on a saucer and we'd sit in front of this, because in the whole flat we only had like this one little bar of gas fire that to all the heating. You know, but you don't know that you're poor back then.
Was it a happy childhood?
Yeah, very happy. Very, very happy. And on a Saturday afternoon, so our hedge backed on to the back of a shop where
back then they'd close on a Sunday, and any like things that they didn't, that wouldn't last till the Monday, no Barabrith in the freezer back then.
Right, yeah.
It was, they'd put on a like a cardboard box and put it on the hedge for us on a Saturday, like these little kindnesses, you know. And sometimes there was nothing, but occasionally there'd be like cream cake and all of that, you know.
So
they're very different times. But then, and my mother hated cooking, so food was very basic and you loved it because it filled you up.
But so then. You got Countdown when you were 22.
21, I was.
21?
Yeah.
And you're on the telly and you're like having to be a very clever person on telly, like at all times. And then you moved to London? Or was it filmed somewhere else?
We did it in Leeds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did it in Leeds.
It's Richard White.
Richard Whiteley. Whiters and Borders, They were heady days because it was the biggest show on Channel 4 for it.
Yeah. Well, my mother watched it religiously.
Yes.
She would sit at 4 o'clock with a thumb of whiskey, she would say, and a hummus and crisps, and she watched it every... She adored you.
And it kept her
brain going,
And it was a very loving show.
Mm.
So we never said viewers. People were countdowners because Richard and I always felt like we were all in it together. Mm. And everywhere we went, you know, you couldn't go out of the house without people... For me, talking about him, or for him, talking about me. And it was just a joy. It was a real love. You know, everybody loved it, whether it was your mum, because they felt very
included. You used to
included.
Watch it at university as
but
well.
But you did it for how many years? 20 years?
26 years.
26
years. But I always count myself as very lucky. And my stepfather, I'm just going back to the 70s, so food, really, for me, started in 1970. Because my stepfather... was an Italian prisoner of war.
Oh, my God!
My mother liked foreigners, I'm telling
you. She did, didn't she, for a little Welsh girl from Rhyl?
I heard her listening to an Aeroflot captain when we lived in Maidenhead once, going over, and in a Russian voice, I said, Mother, are you switching that off now? I'm not having that. I banned her from having a boyfriend from when she was about 60.
Was he handsome, this Italian man?
No.
This was your stepdad?
My stepfather... who I called my dad, who turned my world from black and white to Technicolor.
Aww.
I absolutely loved him. He swore every third word he swore, right? And he had, his first language was Italian, his second language was Welsh, because a lot of Italian prisoners of war came over to Wales because it was all for agriculture and stayed. And his third language was English, so you can imagine, can't you? And he'd got this tiny little sort of building company. And so we moved from this cold flat where there were four of us in one bedroom to I had my own bedroom. I was like, oh my God. And there was like a proper kitchen and everything. And because it was Italian, we had proper olive oil.
Mm.
Back olive in oil. 1970.
You could only buy it in the chemist.
You could buy it for what purpose?
I don't know.
You had to heat it on a teaspoon, pour it in your ear to get rid of earwax. Yes. That was olive oil, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could only buy it. It was that big. Yeah. It was a little square bottle.
But we had it to cook.
So were you eating
proper Parmigiano?
Oh my God.
I mean, it was just amazing.
Did he take pride in his cooking?
Yeah, he loved his cooking. So Friday. So I would cook Monday to Thursday because... Back then, I bet you did this. Monday was always the same thing.
Oh, yeah, you
had
the same every day.
Tuesday.
What did you have on a Monday?
Lobscouse.
Oh, what's that?
Lobscouse was like a stew of the leftover lamb on the Sunday.
Okay.
So Wales was very lamb. And then you'd have lobscouse. And then I can't remember what Tuesday was, but Friday was Italian. And I was always first home from school from age of 10. I cooked for everyone. And my dad would be back from the building site 5:45, bang on the nose, and I had everything ready to go. Mum would come back from work as well. And then Friday, he'd teach me how to do the Italian stuff, you see.
Can we talk about the podcast?
Yeah.
Is it an app as well?
Not yet.
It should be, right?
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
I think it might end up on telly, actually. But that's not the purpose of it.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Introduce it.
Yeah, so So I started at the beginning of the year a new little podcast. Obviously, quizzes have been my thing.
Yeah. Right. The queen.
And the quiz. And there are not many podcasts about quizzes. And you think, hang on.
You're right.
So there aren't. Name one.
None.
So, you know, Sudoku Queen and all of that, and Countdown, obviously. And you think, well, podcast massive things. Where's the quiz show one? There isn't one. But everybody loves a quiz. Why isn't there a podcast? So I spent about a year with my partners in crime on this. And I said, I don't want it to be anything mastermindy. I don't want it to be anything that people feel, you know, a little bit like Mastermind, where you think, oh, I feel inferior because I've only got two answers and all of that. Or you have to have specialist knowledge.
Yeah.
Because then what you're doing is the only people who can answer it are the ones who can nerd out on research books. So, and good for them. But I didn't want it like that. I wanted it to be something. Anyway, we developed this thing called Perfect 10. So it's 10 questions, 10 points, all done in 10 minutes.
It's so neat.
It's just neat, isn't
it? Perfect.
It is the perfect
10. It's really good.
Yeah, it is good. And it's like, boom, it's hit the charts and everything. And so every question one is of the same kind. So when you tune in, it's a bit like on Countdown. You know, you go in, you don't have to keep saying, and now select 9 letters. Some will be consonants, some will be vowels. And now make the longest word that you can. You don't have to say all of that because things become shorthand after a while. And that's what I wanted with Perfect 10. So there are many different kinds of rounds, but anyone can attempt the answer. So, you know, there's a bit of a riddle. There are questions like the golden arches. How do you spell McDonald's with or without an apostrophe? And people go, oh, my God. Oh, I've seen it a million times.
It's without.
I don't know. It's with.
Oh!
Misspent youth, darling.
Your mother knew. Yeah, so things like that. And then in the answers, you know, might give a little bit of information why that would be with an apostrophe, for instance. So it's like, just enough. It's just enough. It's 10 minutes. You listen to it and we say it'll entertain, educate and irritate the hell out of you.
Love it.
Yeah.
Are you on a regular pub quiz team or is it just when somebody sees Vorders come in through the door, they're like,
man,
just give her the bloody prize.
I've got to be on one next week. Somehow or other, somewhere in my brain, it remembers things. But it's rubbish on music, for instance. Sport, rubbish.
Okay, so
Jessie can remember lyrics.
In lockdown.
Yeah, I can't remember
any. Lockdown.
Yeah.
Did you, how many bloody Zoom quizzes did you do?
I didn't do any.
Oh.
Because everyone was doing
it. Yeah, and you were like,
I didn't do any.
And the first week you go,
hated
oh,
it.
Great,
I hated
family
it.
Family quiz, we're going to do a family quiz. No.
This sounds so perfect because they go on as well. You're invested for 10 minutes. In the quiz, and then you're like, novelty's got, I want to get off. Yeah. I'm Googling.
Yeah, and 10 minutes, and it's the hearsay question, which is a bit like catchphrase, but audio version.
Okay. Can you give us an example?
I love that.
Well, I'm not going to do the sounds, but you would hear sounds, and you've got to say what you hear, which is why we call it hearsay.
Rather than
so you'd hear.
Pig. Oink.
Oink. Oink.
Yeah. And then doors to manual. Could all the passengers kindly remain in their seats? Seatbelts on.
Pig hostess.
Pig hostess.
What did you say?
Pig hostess. Well, doors to manual, what do they...
Oh, yeah, pig hostess. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. What is it? No, you have to work it out by going through a series of...
I know, but pig hostess, I don't think I've ever heard.
Neither have I, darling. Pig.
Yeah.
Pig.
Is it a pig or an oink?
Pig. It's a pig.
Okay, pig, close, pig.
Doors to doors, manual.
Pig doors, pig open, pig shut.
Pig order.
Pig assist.
Doors to manual.
Pig plane.
Doors please to remain manual. In your seats.
So it's take off or...
Pig, tannoy. Pig.
Touchdown.
What's that refer to?
Instruction.
An aeroplane.
Yes. Okay. And what do aeroplanes do?
Fly. Take pig off. Fly. Pigs will fly.
Pigs will fly.
Oh! I like that. I love that.
So you say it's like a saying.
Yeah, it's always a well-known phrase or saying, sorry.
Okay.
I should have said that in the first
Pico's
place. Yes. But actually, if I'd said that, it wouldn't have been as funny.
That's amazing.
Do you still fly?
I haven't for a few years. Fly my little plane, my Mildred.
What kind? Your Mildred? My Mildred. Why did you call her a Mildred?
Because there's a wonderful woman who I want to make a documentary about called Mildred Bruce, who was born in the almost 1900, so late 1800s. And she was amazing. She was the first woman to get a speeding fine. She was 15 on her brother's motorbike. She was a champion race car driver. When Amy Johnson flew to, in 1930 to Australia, first woman to do so in her little plane, Mildred decided she was going to be a pilot, bought a plane, went solo within the first 6 days, which is a big thing for a pilot, and took off 6 weeks later to fly around the world solo. She'd only been flying 6 weeks, and these adventures that she had. And she had a plane which couldn't go over the oceans. So she was the first woman to traverse the world in an aircraft, but without the oceans, because there wasn't an aircraft capable of doing that at the time. If there had been, she'd have done it. She was extraordinary. Then she came back, she set up a flying circus. Then she set up an airline, now in the 30s, 30 what they call dragon rapids. And she used to fly, like the Times, the Telegraph and so on, all the newspapers over to Paris. And then they'd have passengers. And she was the first person to introduce an air hostess. She said, well, these boys would want to like a pretty thing doing this, that and the other. And then during the war, she kind of lived at the in the Dorchester and threw parties, very bad parties, naughty girl, terrible woman. And during the war, she had to close, obviously, the airline because of the war. So she set up, she was a proper engineer, in Wales, a factory to repair Spitfires. Wow. She was an amazing woman, absolutely incredible woman.
Are you going to be able to make the documentary?
Well, I hope so.
I think you've sold it. It's like, it could be a television series.
And nobody knows
well.
About her. And I think that's part and parcel of this whole thing, which is, let's talk about the men and glorify. And I love men, don't get me wrong. This isn't anti-men.
No.
This is pro-women.
Have you ever met Sandy Toksvig?
Yeah, I
and
love Sandy.
Women's Equality Party. You know, we had a similar conversation with Sandy when she was on the podcast about these women that have done remarkable things in history, but yet...
Who? Don't... people go, who?
Yeah.
And I would like to do that.
Help yourself to bits and bobs.
I will. I'm great at
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you live on your own at the moment?
No. With my son.
You live with your son?
Yeah.
But not a partner?
No, God, no, we don't want that.
I know what you mean, darling.
Couldn't think of anything worse, could you?
Not now.
No.
I don't want to look after anyone.
No.
No.
When you're in your 20s and your 30s, you think, oh, I'm going to get married, which I did, have children, which I did. I get it.
Have you been married once?
Well, I briefly got married in my 20s, which was... I didn't really want to get married.
So why did you get married?
Because my mother thought it might, you know.
Right, okay.
That lasted well.
Dear.
Not.
But that wasn't his fault, not my fault, just so young. I think we were like 23 and 24 or something. And we met and married within 4 months.
Mm.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Is he the father of the children?
No. Paddy, their dad, got married when I was 29. And he's a nice man.
Did he work in telly?
No. He was trained accountant. Not surprisingly.
Super bright. Numbers really turn you on, eh, Carol?
Super bright. Oh, he was good with a spreadsheet.
But how many men have you got on the go at the moment? Is it true what they say?
Is it true what I say?
Or what you say, yes.
Yes, it is true, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think
do you have them
refreshing.
On a rota?
Mum!
No.
In like you used to eat your meals in Wales on a Monday.
I have lobscouse on a Monday.
Fucking hell, that's very funny.
It's very funny.
Carol,
yes.
When you've enjoyed that French bread with that butter...
Yeah, I'm sorry, I enjoy my food, but I'm a very
good.
Slow eater.
I'm very quick. I'm actually terrible.
My son is the only person I know is slower than me.
I would like you to start, and I'm really appreciating your thought and preparation. I feel like you've prepped for this. Last Supper, you know it's coming up. You've got a piece of bread in your hand with some butter. Before, we were just talking about, you said it was going to be carb heavy. Are you ready to tell us?
So carb heavy.
Come
so
on,
I
stop
love
it to
bread,
us.
But I never buy it.
Okay.
So go back to my 30s. Mm-hmm. So we're now in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, Paddy, who I loved and adored, we loved pasta and all of that. But I was working really hard and I just got to the point where I was eating for just to stay alive, stay awake, which I'm sure when you're on tour, you understand. Mm. And you've got little ones and you're just knackered all the time.
Yeah.
And I put on much, but a bit of weight and I didn't like that and all of that. So I started this detox diet, which is... biggest selling book, actually, eventually, when I wrote the book. But it was slated by nutritionists at the time. And it because it was 28 days detox diet, and it was...
This was your detox diet? Mm. You wrote this book?
I wrote the book, yeah. No wheat, no meat, no dairy, no sugar for 28 days. Then it was all, no, you go, can't
and now,
do that. Now it's like standard.
It's standard.
You know, you go, yeah. I mean, I'm not a veggie. Don't want to be a veggie. Never have wanted to be a veggie. This is for 28 days to sort of give all your organs a way of naturally detoxing. Give
so
it, let
what would you be eating on those days? Like what, like a day in the life of the
super
detox?
Super high on veggies, not potatoes. I went buy normal potatoes.
What do you buy?
So
sweet potatoes.
Because of the detox site, changed everything I bought. Mm. So when I go out, I'll have what I like. But I never buy bread. Sometimes I buy because it's lovely bread now, isn't it?
Mm.
I could go through a whole loaf standing by the sink.
Yeah.
And it has been known when I've done that, I'm halfway through a loaf and I have to run it under the tap, literally to destroy the bread. Otherwise, I will finish it. There's like no switch off on it. Pasta, good pasta, I love. I don't like sloppy pasta.
You like butter?
I love butter. I love fish and chips. Nice fish and chips. I don't like French fries.
You like proper big chips, yeah.
Proper old-fashioned big chips. All of that stuff
Have you
I
got
love.
An air fryer?
Oh my god! Should we be getting
one?
Yeah, defo.
What's
it
your
tastes
best
like it's fried.
Yeah,
hence the fryer bit. But it's not. So after the detox diet, I became very. I haven't weighed myself since 1999.
Really?
Don't know what I weigh. I won't let anyone tell me what I weigh. You know when you go for medicals and all that. And by and large, when I'm home, I eat quite well. But if somebody's bought me chocolates or whatever it might be, I'll just eat them before I go to the vegetables. So I can't have it in the house.
So you deny yourself quite a lot because
we,
then...
Well, I don't. I'm very happy. Yeah, because it's all I've known for 20 years.
Yeah, but if you open your fridge, what would be in it
today? Lots of vegetables, yeah. A bit of coleslaw, fish, turmeric shots, which I love. I think because I emptied the fridge. Fruit, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese.
That. So your house is basically like...
It's like detox.
A retreat.
Yeah.
No, not really.
It is for us.
I don't need to go to but body camp. I need to go to Carol Vorderman's
people
house.
Come to my... If I go and stay in other people's houses, I'm always amazed by what they've got in the fridge. But I'd go to your fridge and I'd go, oh, no, I wouldn't have that. But I don't cook at home now, you see.
So what do you have at night? Well, are you out tonight?
No. I live with my mates in Esher when I'm in...
Okay. So where do you normally live then?
Bristol.
Oh, really?
Oh, son, yeah. But
great restaurants there.
Yeah, it was brilliant. But I... So when I go out, I'll eat what I want. But I don't... No, I don't feel in denial at all.
I have got to talk to you about your anti-corruption fight.
Oh, don't start me on that one.
I am so proud of you and so at one with you. And so want to go out there with you. I mean, if you started something, I'd join in with you. Because
really?
I just feel I'm so
it's terrible, isn't it?
It's so appalling.
Yeah.
And what's so appalling is no one cares. People are kind of immune.
Well, no, I think they're numbed, aren't they? I think people do care, but I just think it's like fatigue.
But we're used
it's become
to it.
Such a
but
yeah.
It's used to it. It's as if we accept that people can cheat and behave in such an appalling fashion.
And steal from us.
And steal from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to the tune of billions.
Billions.
Yeah. Via the government. In some of them, legitimate forms.
I know.
You see patterns. You start to... And this is all stuff that's freely available, if you like. Because all I'm doing is a Google search and then talking to maybe a tax expert, admittedly, or a lawyer who's particularly into VIP... PPE lanes or in the background knowledge. But I want to do a podcast soon. She's just calling it out subject by subject. Because
oh,
it is disgusting.
It's
disgusting what's happening.
It's like...
Scale of lying. And we've lived through similar political times, haven't we? You know,
but people resigned. You couldn't have survived politically if you'd done.
Well, and you had a love child you had to resign before.
Yeah, you did.
Do you remember Parkinson?
Cecil Parkinson.
I mean...
Geoffrey Archer, who was accused of this affair and then committed perjury, was in jail. I don't think we get angry enough.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Want to. So your generation and below you, I think it'd be wonderful if musicians got involved with encouraging the young. Get angry, get fighting and get voting. People my age can't really connect with, you know, the kids age 18 plus, but musicians can. And I really think it's time, because if it isn't done, they're going to suffer most of their adult life. Because we will be wrecked. For instance, there's a financial services and marketing bill which no one's ever heard of, no one talks about ever anywhere, which has already gone through its three readings in Commons, in committee stage in the Lords. After the global financial crisis, they separated the commercial banks like Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan and so on, and the retail banks, NatWest, etc., for good reason. Lots of security systems were put in place to protect us from financial fraud. Not a single person went to jail, by the way, after the global financial crisis. Never do they? They were super rich. So they were separated. The financial services and marketing bill going through with the Tories now would do away with all of that. And I Googled it about charities just before Christmas. Lots of articles. And my Google search, criticising it, this, that and the other. Nothing on BBC News, nothing, never.
They're not allowed.
Well, they are allowed. They just choose not to do it for whatever reason. And BBC chairman, chosen by Boris Johnson. Yeah. Oh, there's a nice little loan for you. And then I Googled it a couple of weeks ago. It's like it's been washed away. All you get is the government websites on it.
Oh,
it's
wow.
really weird. And I am no conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, right.
It's just I know, because I screenshot everything on my phone, screenshot, because I've learned. I just go, whoa.
Wow.
That's weird.
Carol, get this bloody podcast going.
I am. I'm going to get it going pretty soon.
You're not political. Are you?
I am not associated, have I ever been associated with a particular political party. But I worked with David Blunkett introducing Numeracy Hour in the late 90s into primary schools. And also, I spent 18 months... It was a time when chat rooms started, and I did documentaries for ITV and all sorts of different things, campaigned in the House of Commons. Jack Straw didn't want to know the Home Secretary about grooming children online, was not illegal. And so when David Blunkett became Home Secretary, because I knew him when he was Education Secretary, he listened, and I sat on the task force, and we introduced the world's first criminal act for grooming a child online.
Wow.
And also that he set up this wonderful organisation, which is all about child protection online. And then 2011, I worked with Michael Gove on a maths thing again, you know, big report about maths. So I've worked with both parties, but my thing's always been about children and education, really.
I need to ask you some food questions, because we are chatting about everything and it's wonderful, but I need to. Starter, what are we having?
Oh,
she's worked this out.
Yeah,
no, I haven't worked it all.
I hope you're going shopping and not relying on your bloody fridge.
What would I have? I would like some parma ham, I think. Or what's that one? That's the Spanish one. That's really, really greasy.
Serrano.
Yeah, I love that.
It's gorgeous. Okay.
So we're having a charcuterie board.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. I love olives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black olives, I like. Or big,
big, big juicy,
fat green ones. Yeah. Love olives. And bread.
Any particular kind
of
bread?
Yes, I would like an artisan loaf.
Yeah.
Okay.
With some black olives in it and maybe a few walnuts.
I love an olive and walnut artisan bread.
Oh,
I love that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think like you can get it in Gales.
I can get walnut, but I've never had them.
Yeah,
made.
Delicious.
Oh, it's lovely.
Okay.
And you're going to have to give me an hour to eat that.
And
a tub of really salted butter.
Okay.
Like proper salted Welsh butter.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Dead yellow.
Right. You know, you're going to have a little while to get over that before you go onto your mains.
I know, I'm a slow eater.
Yeah, okay. This is going to be a day of a Last Supper.
Do you know what? Rich Whiteley and I held records in a lot of London restaurants for the longest lunch ever.
That is an amazing piece of information.
Yeah. We'd start about 1 o'clock and often we'd still be going at like 2 a.m. I love a long lunch.
Oh my God.
So there's a little gang of us, gays and girls, we call ourselves, gays and girls. So there's Alan Carr, Gok, O'Grady, me, Sally Lindsay, and occasionally a few others. And we would have the longest lunches. And the most outrageous.
I mean, Alan Carr is one of the greatest people to eat with. And the funniest. So we've had him on. I've never laughed so much in my life.
Couldn't breathe for laughing.
No. I love our Al.
Who picks the restaurant? Have you ever been told that...
I'm not fussing about stuff like that.
Have you ever been told that it's time to leave, Carol?
Often. And that's when I know I've had a good day.
I am
a troublemaker.
You pronounce the name of the gorgeous weatherman who bangs the drum.
Owine.
Owine, who's got a new Radio 2
program.
Yes,
Owine. And that, because I would have said Owen.
Yeah, Owine.
Owine.
He came to a gig of mine.
I know.
Yeah. Right, I love my Owine. Do you like Owine on?
I'd love Owine.
Oh,
as long as he plays the drums.
I can leave him a message.
We'll go to him as long as he plays the drums.
So we did a show about 3 years ago where, because he's a Welsh speaker, so a lot of my family are Welsh speakers, but you live in England.
Are you?
No, what we would say, tipping bach.
Tipping bach.
Or Gymraeg, a little bit of Welsh. Anyway, we did this show for S4C called Iaith Ar Daith, which was like a travel and your journey and all this. Learning Welsh, so... And he's a really good mate of mine, Owen. So there's a word in Welsh for thirst, which is cuntaf.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Exactly. So we always
I could play a million things. We always start our voicemails, which are every day, like three times a day, with meine Kunsthaft Darling. And I can do it on my Radio Wales show because everyone in Wales knows it means first, right? So I go, oh,
you can't do it.
Kunsthaft Darling, my first darling, la la la, right? In England, you never get away with it. And we always, always, always end our messages with, you know what's coming. That's like three times a day.
Love that. Okay, so we've got bolli, we've got a charcuterie board with some really juicy olives,
yeah.
Artisanal bread.
Yeah.
What's the main?
My main course. So it's got to be a meal, hasn't it?
No, it can be whatever you like.
Fish and chips.
Okay.
Mushy peas.
With your fishy bits?
That's why the scallops and pea puree.
How good is that scallops and pea? The pea puree is so good. She puts a bit of cumin in there. Some stock and onions, and it's really
just
nice.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
Would you go back for those fishy bits, or do you think you'd...
My fish bit? I would have... Because the Last Supper, you can't change venue, can you?
You're Carol Vorderman, you can do what you like.
I am going down to West Wales, and I'm going on the beach at Newgale near my house, which is in Pembrokeshire. A little house there, and it's wild, and then the most beautiful sunsets, and it's in St. Bride's Bay, and the sea is clear, and the beach goes on for miles and miles and miles, and I'd have a Barbie there with someone gorgeous doing the Barbie.
Yeah.
Obvs.
Someone gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, someone gorgeous, and it would be lovely fish, but I would need it in batter. I'd have to have something that's battery.
So the chip fryer would be there in some form.
It would be there in some... You can always do it, can't you? You can always manage, let's be fair. And, that would be my main down there. We'd all be going down there by time travel. And
Does this taste healthy?
This tastes very healthy. I quite like it, but it's very healthy. It feels like breakfast.
And then we'd play games in the sand.
Oh, I love games. What games?
Games like... Like drawing rude words in the sand and then waiting for the water to wash them out. That kind of thing.
So generally,
they've got four letters beginning with a C. But, you know, that's just a thing.
In Welsh,
yeah. My first word.
What's that name for a hug? I love it. Cutch.
Cutch.
A cutch. It's such a good word.
Are you a sweet person? Not really.
No, I'm a savoury girl, really.
You don't have to eat that.
No, I will eat it.
Okay.
I eat everything.
Is there anything you're not good at?
Loads of things, a million things. Can't speak languages. I can't.
Why? Because
as long as you're happy doing the things that you're happy doing, then that goal's happy, isn't it? Really?
I wish I had your mind. I wish I had your brain.
Yeah. Great brain.
Well, it doesn't work like yours. There's nothing sexier and more amazing and empowering than a mind, a good mind.
Than an accountant.
That is the least, yeah.
What would your dream bloke be then, Lenny? If you were 60 again, what would your dream bloke
60
be?
60 again.
Or would you have more than one?
Well, yeah, probably. I did used to like Saul from Homelands. I do think Rafa Varane, who plays for United as fullback, is the handsomest person I think
so
I've ever seen. I feel almost faint when I look at him.
Right.
Who else
That's
would
two.
I like? Don't know, really.
See, it's nice when they provide a little bit of everything.
I think that's why you need to have more than one. You're so right.
Thank you.
You need bits of...
It's a bit like the Last Supper.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
a bit of everything you
13.
Fancy.
Now you're pushing it.
Bit of everything you fancy.
There you are.
To be honest.
She's converted.
Yeah.
Carol, before I feel like we get onto the next bottle of champagne...
No.
And set the world
right. I drank this much alcohol in bloody...
Oh, shush.
You enjoy that.
I'm only on my second glass.
Well, you think that's your second glass. But I have been pouring it when you haven't been looking. So let's talk about whether you think you've got good table manners.
What's that then?
What do you think are good table manners?
Well, exactly. I think good table manners are not about where you hold your knife and fork. I think it's about being entertaining and having good having a good chat, mm-hmm. being lively, getting up and dancing a little bit, doing all of that. That's good.
Is that what's happening on these long lunches?
It doesn't matter if you've got your elbows on the table.
Why did we only have 2 hours? Because you'd have
She'd
have stayed till 1 a.m. We'd have got the music going.
No, I know. We would have had Whitney on.
Whitney on.
Bit of Whitney. Bit pink, though.
Pink. I feel kind of like I've got this image of you now, you and your pickup truck, playing Pink.
Yeah.
Maybe with a headscarf on, like Thelma and Louise, you just driving off into the sunset to go and fly...
With 10 men in
Mildred.
The back.
Mildred. With 10 men in the back. But like, I just... I don't know.
It isn't called a pickup truck for nothing.
God, stop. Loved that hood. She was over at the bloody sink finishing it up.
She told me that if she could buy those in a shop, she'd buy them.
Really? I thought they were nice.
They were okay. I mean, it went a bit gooey.
Well, that's what happens when you've got not much fun stuff in your fridge, isn't
you've
it?
Got, oh God, you think of her fridge sounded dry.
What a woman, though.
I just thought she was such good fun, a force of nature.
Yeah.
What is that word she uses that sounds very rude, but it isn't really very rude?
Couldn't have.
Couldn't have.
Yeah, she's really quite fabulous. She's a bit of a showstopper.
She's just such good fun. So, do you see how quick she got those letters?
I know.
And they were jumbled up.
Thank you to Carol Vorderman for coming on to the podcast. I would like to be privy to one of those long lunches.
God, yeah.
Her, Alan Carr. Got Kwan.
Yeah, and Owain.
Owain. Love that. I really loved how she made herself at home. It was just really...
very warm.
Yeah, it was so warm. Loved it. Thank you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.